I leave again, that means the Band-Aid didn't hold. First Thessalonians chapter 5. For time's sake, we'll commence at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying or despise not preaching. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. My text this morning is verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We should linger a little bit longer on the subject of Thanksgiving today. So often we have Thanksgiving Day behind us, and it seems that possibly the concept, the truth, the experience, the grace of Thanksgiving, the means of worship goes behind us as well. And so I felt liberty to continue with this thought this morning. It's likely that this word thanksgiving, or the noun thanksgiving, which is found often and engaged with thanksgiving, and the verb to give thanks, first of all means to feel thanks. Before, it means to give thanks. Understand that you can see it both directions. Just because you don't feel thanks doesn't mean you ought not to give thanks. Giving thanks may be used of the Lord to make you feel thanks. Sometimes you don't feel grateful, but as you begin to count your blessings and bless the Lord, O my soul, for all his benefits, that you begin to feel the gratitude that should be there. And sometimes you feel grateful, maybe the words don't come, and certainly as you feel grateful that you're going to show gratitude, you're going to enumerate it. So it's a lot easier if you feel grateful than if you don't. And I think that the command is particularly to the heart. And that's interesting because the word thanksgiving is the word Eucharist. It sounds very eerie to us who have popish backgrounds. But charis is the word grace, and eu is found in eulogy. It means to speak well of, and Eucharist. It has the two words, and it's hard to combine them with a definition, but good grace. I think the summary of it is at least to recognize God's grace in your life. What is it to feel thanks, to be thankful, to give thanks? What are you doing? What are you feeling? when you experience that? Is it not, I recognize the gifts of God to me, my own life, my salvation, my friends, the lot I have in life, the atmosphere, and so on. I recognize that my life is a grace from God, and I want to express it openly as well as feel it internally. And that's really what Thanksgiving is, isn't it? And may I say, only a believer can be commanded to feel thanks, in the sense only he of all people can feel thanks. It's speaking of a deep worshipful manner in the believer. Now the heathen can feel thanks in the sense as creatures receiving the goodness of a creator, as I suppose the animal acknowledges the hand that feeds it. I mean, I'm amazed that even domesticated animals, maybe it's just Pavlov's law, but you pull that cup out and you fill it with food and they come running. But not just that, but even there are times that the animal will stop eating after you pour it in this, and he'll kind of just look up at you. The strangest thing, isn't it? Recognizing the hand that feeds you. And unfortunately, not even heathen do that. Animals seem to do that. But there are people in this world that don't even go that far. You don't see them bowing their heads at a table at the restaurant or ever mentioning that the blessings they have come from God. And yet they ought to feel thanks as creatures. But this that is enjoined in 1 Thessalonians is more than just a recognition of a creature to a creator. He's talking to Christians in Thessalonica, isn't he? He says to the church of the Thessalonians, people call out from the world. He's talking to them. And he says, in everything you give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you is plural. He's talking particularly to the church, though it applies to every individual. But he's dealing with worship. Do you know that thanksgiving is worship? It's a means of approaching God to say, I recognize that you are the creator and the redeemer of my soul, and that I want to worship you by acknowledging your grace in my life, by enumerating your grace, by feeling grateful for your grace. It is true that regeneration requires faith and not so much feeling, as we heard recently. You have to believe. It's not about feeling, it's about believing. That's true. But may I say that after regeneration, it is about feeling as well as believing. We ought to be feeling what we believe. We ought to be feeling the grace that God has dispensed to us. The believer begins to feel gratitude for the goodness and grace of his Redeemer and Savior. Tell me there's not feeling in the phrase, or in the words in Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How can you not read that psalm without recognizing that man had feeling in his soul, in his bosom? Is there not feeling in bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me? Bless his holy name, not just with my mouth, all that is within me. That includes my heart, my mind, not just my mouth. It includes my feeling, my believing, my thinking. It includes everything about me. And that's what the Lord wants us to engage in when he says, in everything give thanks. Actually, there's one verse, Colossians 3:15, where it says, be ye thankful. The Lord is commanding our will. We need that, don't we? We need the Lord to command us. Maybe we wouldn't take it so seriously if he didn't command us. You know, I think we take things more seriously when we find that they're authoritatively given to us. Are we just lax? Is it just a revelation of the vestiges of our old nature within us? But it should be very important to us, not only because it's a command from God, as a command from an authority to an inferior, like the command of a general to his troops. But it also says it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know who the first person in the New Testament where it says that he actually gave thanks? You know who it is? One that you might think doesn't need to give thanks. Yes, it's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the first one in the New Testament recorded to give thanks as he had performed the miracle of the multiplying of the loaves and the fish. It says that he gave thanks. And that's amazing. As God, he produced the food. And in a sense, well, we might jump to the conclusion and say, well, it's as a man that he gave thanks. But it's not arrogancy with God to recognize his grace to the people. You know, after all, in Genesis it says, God looked upon all that he made, and behold, it was good. In a sense, he was saying, this is grace to my people. He was recognizing, I have been gracious to them. I didn't need to do this. No one forced me to do this. And the creature is responding, yes, it is grace when we give thanks. We're acknowledging it. We're confessing it. We're worshiping the Lord that we deserve nothing but his wrath. And of all people, as Christians, should feel and give thanks. Yes, he did feel thanks as a man. He recognized that he was supported by his Father and by the Holy Spirit, that they sent the angels to minister unto him in the wilderness and in the garden and so on. But the Lord Jesus was doing it to fulfill all righteousness and to set an example for us, wasn't he? To do what we hadn't done in Adam. And to include all the righteousness that he would impute to us in Christ so that we could have heaven. So may I say that giving thanks and feeling thanks is part of the righteousness of God in our lives. It's obedience to God. It's fulfilling the righteousness in Christ that we have received. My proposition this morning is to consider the challenge and the consistency of feeling and giving thanks as a matter of worship, not merely mindless habit. To consider the challenge and consistency of feeling and giving thanks as a matter of worship, not merely as mindless habit. And don't things often become mindless habits to us? We do them because we do them. We're used to doing them. We just give lip service, don't we? Well, the Lord doesn't want just lip service. He does want lips, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto him. But he wants the heart. My son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. Does the Lord have our hearts today? Just because you're saved doesn't mean he has your heart now, in the sense your thoughts, your devotion. Because the Lord said to some Christians, you left your first love. Your heart's not in it. You're working for me, you're toiling for me, you're preaching for me, you're teaching for me, you're reaching lost souls for me, you're giving for me, you're visiting your fellow Christians, you're in the hospitals, you're in the nursing homes, you're out, but your heart's not in it. And the Lord is saying, is he not, when he's saying, in everything give thanks, I want your heart. Isn't he saying in everything, feel thanks? He's not just asking for lip service. So often we reduce thanksgiving merely to saying thank you. You know, you can say thank you till the cows come home and not feel it. You can just do it as a robot and not feel it. You might as well get a tape recording. Yeah, I always think so many people during the day say, how you doing? Good, how you doing? You should just get a record, you know, put it in your pocket with my voice saying, how you doing? Good, how you doing? You know, aren't we like that? I like to mix it up, you know, so that I'm thinking, so that I want my heart in, I want to be real. We want to be genuine. But so often we just go down that path, don't we? So the next time someone says, how are you doing? Thank you. That's going to throw them for a loop. And then maybe say something else. My soul is well, but I'm a little bit tired this morning. I mean, something to make us think and make them think. You know what I mean? We're not robots. But we often act like robots, don't we? So let's think about feeling and giving thanks unto the Lord. He wants our hearts. Obviously, but possibly the obvious we overlook, it's a priority. You know, there's so many things we think we need to do, don't we? If I asked you and you asked me, what are the things you need to do? We could come up with a list of 100 things or 1,000 things. But I know this is one of the priorities. Because, you know, not very many things actually are said, this is the will of God. You know, a sermon that often flocks people to churches if they write on the sign, you want to know the will of God for your life, come hear a sermon this Sunday. But often what happens is they go away saying, I still don't know the will of God for my life. Because they're asking for what spouse to marry, what job I'm going to have, what city I'm going to live in. You know what I mean? They're asking for things that the Lord tells you down the line as you acknowledge Him in all your ways. But the things that are really important, we often overlook. He's saying, look, I want your heart now, and I'll give you the specifics later. We want the specifics and leave the heart out, you know? We want to reserve that. No. He's saying, this is the will of God. And there's only two or three things actually where it said this is the will of God. Now I understand, yes, it's the will of God for us to preach, to witness, to love, and so on. But specifically, this is one of the few things where it said, this is the will of God. So it's priority. And I wonder why it's so pointed. Have you ever asked these kinds of questions? Why is it so pointed? Why doesn't he just say, in everything give thanks? Like he said, pray without ceasing, and rejoice evermore, and despise not prophesying. He didn't give any explanations for that. Why did he just say, in everything give thanks? Oh, okay. But he went on. As if he's trying to prove, you know, as if he's trying to say, jolt the people and say, something you're not doing like some of the other things. Maybe it's something you don't think about that often. Because we are, maybe, are they like we were 2,000 years ago? We become presumptuous? Or they didn't have the same kind of amenities that we, but back then, if you lived, there were people that had amenities and people that didn't. You know, if you had a stove in your house, somebody probably thought you were rich. Were you know what I'm saying? There was always that kind of thing in society. But they were as presumptuous or tempted to be as much as we are. And the Lord would have us to say, to hear today, in everything give thanks. And to jolt us, this is the will of God, it's not an option. Concerning you in Christ. It's a priority, brother. To feel and give thanks. Another place earlier said something else about the will of God. Chapter 4 and verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. There were two things that he said to the Thessalonians, and I suppose they were lacking, or at least they were tempted to omit or to breach. Number one was feeling and giving thanks, and number two was immorality. And sometimes people don't get it The soul needs to be holy, they recognize, but not so much the body. We let the body go in various ways. But the Lord is saying, this is God's will, that you keep from immoral things and immorality. Immoral things to your mind, to your heart, to your body. It's the will of God for all of us, young people, children. Stay away from immoral magazines and immoral television shows and immoral websites and immorality per se, looking upon someone to lust, and actually lusting, committing lust. It's a priority. Why is it so pointed? Because it's pointedly missing today, possibly. We don't get it. Oh, the Lord says, I want you to be holy in all manner of your life, because I am holy. It's a priority. Maybe it's mentioned so, it's an importance here because murmuring and complaining is so easily engaged in, isn't it? We start to murmur and complain in our mind, and then it comes out. And we start to become murmurers and complainers, do all things without murmuring and disputing. You know, it's the spirit of murmuring and complaining is so thick, it's hard to fight against it. When it's cloudy, oh, it's terrible. I wish it was sunny. When it's sunny, it's too bright. I can hardly drive. When it's raining, you know, oh, I left my umbrella home. I wish it wasn't raining. When it's, you know what I mean? When it's cold, I wish it was hot. When it was hot, I wish it was cold. This is the kind of thing you hear all the time, and it just gets to you. And you got to fight it. In everything, give thanks. Thank you for the rain, Lord. It's easy for me to be tempted when it's raining. Getting out of that bus all the time and in, forgetting the umbrella and so on. But you know, I need to be thankful for everything. God is good to us. Oh, how good it is to feel rain. How good it is to be alive. How good it is to be outside and smell the fresh air. How good it is to be with somebody, to be with people in the rain. How good it is to think about that God isn't going to flood the world with this rain like He did. And everything give thanks. It's a priority. So He tells us it's a priority. And you know, we need to set our priorities. Doesn't the Bible teach us to set our priorities? So many things the devil tempts us with, what we need to do is set our priorities. And the Lord tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His kingship, submitting to Him as king, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then fulfilling what He wants you to do as king. And all these things shall be added to you. What is our priority? Seek ye first all these things. And then, when I get to it, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Isn't that how man is? That's how we are. Lord says, first submit to me as king, and I will. I'll then take care of these other things. They're incidental. But you seek first to be a subject to me. That's our priority, brother and sister. We need to set our priorities. And you know, that's one of the blessings for young people. You know what you need to do? Set your priorities. Set your priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The scriptures in your life, first of all. Your time of prayer with God. Your priorities. Wherever you are, whether it's home or school or abroad, what's your priority? To be with Christians on the Lord's Day, the meeting. That's your priority. It's God's will. It's God's will. What is God's will? I know that's God's will. It's God's will for you not to be immoral in thought, word, and deed. I know it's God's will for you to be thankful. I know it's God's will to be with your fellow believers, to worship God. It's God's will. Set your priority. And when the devil comes tempting and taking you off on rabbit trails and your life and your things, that you won't get that ahead of the Lord. First things first. First things first. You say, but I'm busy. First things first. We're all busy. We're all busy. Secondly, he gives us a perspective. You say, in all things? the perspective of thanksgiving in Christ Jesus. Now that's a panorama, isn't it? It's one thing if we say, if heathen are commanded in a sense, in everything give thanks in Adam, much as you can be, aren't they required to give thanks? To recognize their Creator? Sure they are. That's right. That's part of the law. But look, it doesn't say in Adam. In Adam, we can see everything physical and temporal. But what a spectrum, what a panorama when it says in Christ. That includes everything physical, everything temporal, everything invisible, everything eternal. It's a huge panorama. How can we say there's nothing to give thanks for? Well, look at the perspective. It's not like he takes us up on some bunny hill and says, now look and give thanks. That would still be enough. He puts us on the top of everything, as it were. He puts us up in heaven and says, now give thanks. Look how insignificant you are compared to the size of the world. When I consider the heavens that thou hast made, and the skies, and man, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's our perspective. It's not, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's the perspective of those in Adam. But for his mercy endures forever, his goodness and his grace, quantity and quality. That includes things positive and things negative. Things that are tough and things that are easy. The signature of the Creator in birds and flowers and people, give thanks. The provision of God at every meal, give thanks. The kindness of God at every drink, give thanks. Still remember, and I hope I remember, Stonewall Jackson saying, in everything give thanks. And his soldier, one of his soldiers saying, that's so impractical. And I'm asking that reverend, he says, oh, that's so practical. Every time I put a drink to my mouth, I'm thankful that I can wet my appetite or wet my thirst. And think of God's provision of Christ as the water of life. Look in the mirror and see a reflection of myself and say, oh, make me like Christ. The faithfulness of God at every rainbow. The power of God at every thunderclap. The grace of God at every conversion. The authority of God in every sickness. The instruction of God in every persecution. The justice of God whenever a crime occurs. It will occur one day, justice for every crime, whether in Christ or in the soul. The forgiveness of God at every conviction. The love of God at every sight of Christ. The wisdom of God at every hue and every beautiful creation. The gentleness of God when He gives us our rest. The truth of God at every gospel word. In everything, give thanks. You have the perspective that nobody else does outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the panorama. 360 degrees can the Christian look. He can look up and he can look down. How can you say, how can you give thanks at hell that God has spared us from hell? That God will cause justice for every sin? Wherever you look, you have a great perspective as creatures and as new creatures. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Priority of thanksgiving, the perspective of thanksgiving. May I say, the Lord tells us some partners of thanksgiving. I think you see by the truth that's padded around this verse. You know, he precedes the verse with two interesting commands. Rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. I think these things are kind of like flowing as far as they're being a triplet here. You know, it's a lot easier to give thanks when you have joy in your soul, when you're rejoicing in the Lord. It's a lot easier to give thanks when you're praying about it, when you're praying for grateful hearts. How do you get a grateful heart? You start rejoicing in the Lord. You start enjoying the Lord. When you treat the Lord like just some benefactor, and that's all He is. He's not your Lord and your Savior and the love of your soul. When you just see Him as a benefactor, what happens when there's no benefacting for a while? When you perceive that there aren't gifts flowing down to you like they did, then you start to bite the hand that feeds you. When you don't realize He's your Lord, He was crucified on the cross for me. He lives for me, bringing me to heaven. He's my Lord and my God and my Savior. I tell you, it's a lot easier to be grateful when you're enjoying the Lord, when you're rejoicing in Him for who He is, not just for what He's done for us. He's my God. He's the God-man who came for me. And then you know, when you're not grateful and you're in that rut of complaining and murmuring, pray without ceasing. You pray, Lord, forgive me. You know, when you're praying without ceasing, when you're seeking the Lord regularly, you can combat that spirit of murmuring and complaining. It's hard to combat murmuring and complaining when you're not praying. You can't pray and murmur at the same time. But I'll tell you what, if you're praying and you start to murmur, before long the Spirit speaks to your heart, and you start to pray, forgive me for murmuring. Give me a thankful heart. Lord, You're the one who made my heart. I don't want to be a robot. I want to feel thanks in my soul. And normally, what does He do? He makes you look back at Calvary, doesn't He? He makes you behold the Lamb, bleeding and dying for me, so that I might have life eternal, so that I might be forgiven. I tell you, the partners of thanks need to be there as well, rejoicing and praying and giving thanks. It's a wonderful triplet. Brother and sister, are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you enjoying the Lord? That's what it means, rejoice in the Lord. It's not again some lip jolly smile. You know, a person can have a frown on his face and his heart and still be joyful. It's saying, I'm enjoying the Lord for who He is, just the sunshine of His presence. And I'm seeking Him in prayer. I'm recognizing I need Him. And I need to commune with God. And the result of that, I think, is the idea. Thanksgiving comes after rejoicing and praying, is that you begin to be thankful. When you start really to enjoy the Lord, not just what He's given you, but enjoy the Lord, rejoice evermore. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Praying unto the Lord. Who are you rejoicing in? It says rejoice and pray without ceasing. Well, who's the object? The same object of thanksgiving. It's the Lord. You're rejoicing in Him. You're praying unto Him. You give thanks unto Him. These are incentives and catalysts for thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving go together. Prayer and thanksgiving go together. You can't eliminate either one, right? They all need to be together. Praise, prayer, and thanksgiving. The joy of the Lord is your strength to feel thanks. Pray for the grace of God to make you feel thankful. Song is a practical way to shatter the despair, isn't it? The spiritual jolting of our hearts. Prayer is seeking the One who at creation saw that all was good, was satisfied in His works. And prayer will help us to be satisfied with all that God has given to us and surrounded us. Not to let us compare, but to say, thank You, Lord, for my life. As David said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. So often we say, well, the lines are fallen unto Him in pleasant places. But can you not say before your God, the lines are fallen unto me? Look at the line the Lord's put you in. It's not a line to hell. It's a line. It's a path. It's a furrow. It's a glory. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. The Lord warns us there are preventatives of thanks. Quench not the Spirit. Sin will always prevent thanksgiving. The Spirit is seeking to stir up the devotion the love, the joy, and the peace, and sin will always prevent that thanksgiving. The devil wants us to sin against God, to break our fellowship. Despise not preaching, the neglect of Scripture that is meant to give the matter and manner of thanksgiving. You neglect Scripture and it's going to tend to cause you to be unthankful. It's going to remove that feeling of thanksgiving. If you're not in the Scripture, which reminds you of the love of Christ, reminds you of the goodness of God, reminds you of grace to deliver you from hell, reminds you of what happens to those that are ungrateful. Prove all things. Evil spirits and wrong friends will prevent thanks. Prove all things is the idea of try every spirit. I think the idea is there. Watch your who your friends are. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If your companions are ungrateful people, if they're murmurers and complainers and worldlings and immoral, what do you think you're going to be like? Birds of a feather flock together. The Bible warns us in Proverbs of not spending time with angry people, lest you become like unto them. Well, you spend time with complainers, you'll be a complainer. You spend time with ingrates, you'll be ingrate. Ungrateful. You spend time with murmurers, you're going to murmur. You spend time with immoral people, and you're going to be lustful. You spend time with arrogant people, and they're your friends. I mean, they're your bosom buddies, and the people you spend time with, you'll be arrogant. 2 plus 2 is 4. Who are your buddies? Who are they? People that complain about life, murmur about their lot, people that love to talk about dirty things, like dirty magazines and dirty websites, questionable things. That'll prevent thanks. Cleave to that which is good. Unwholesome things will prevent you from being grateful. Cleave to that which is good. The word good is wholesome. So it's different from prove all things. I think proving all things deals with people especially. Trying. The word try. Prove every spirit. Make sure it's a godly spirit. It's a godly friend. Cleave to that which is good. Wholesomeness. So unwholesomeness will prevent your gratitude. Unwholesome atmospheres. Watch out, I'll tell you, the world is full of ingratitude. You know what it says in 2 Timothy? Listen, I think there's 19 adjectives and descriptions of people in the last days, the perilous days. Number 7 is unthankful. That's the spirit of the age, and especially the latter days. And so we've got to watch out, brothers and sisters. Grocery stores, workplaces, ballparks. And you're going to hear, you know, people boo people. I mean, what a spirit is that to boo the people that you're supposed to cheer? You boo somebody when they're down? That's the spirit of the age. They want to take your head off when you make a mistake. Where's forgiveness? They want to sue you if they fall on your sidewalk. We've got to watch out, brother and sister. Wholesomeness. Wholesome atmospheres. Cleave to good music. Not music that tends to make you lustful and arrogant and selfish. Cleave to good churches. Good trends, good attitudes, wholesome dress, wholesome speech, wholesome activities. Be a grateful person if you surround yourself with wholesome things and wholesome activities, wholesome people. If you focus on self and the flesh and pride, you'll be ungrateful. You look in 2 Timothy, you know what surrounds the word unthankful? Don't ever look at these lists and just see that they're random things. I believe the things closest to them indicate causes and effects of the traits that are there. It's interesting, the four unthankfulness is lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. When they start coming out from God's authority through parents, they become unthankful. But all these things tend to become to make someone unthankful when they're selfish. And again, unwholesome things tend to point towards self. The world is full of self, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. You ought to have the best. The world ought to be for you. Your workplace is for you. Your family's for you. Have it your way. That's the world. Be an ungrateful person if you love the world. And you become unthankful, it gets worse. You'll be unholy. You'll break truces. You'll accuse others. You'll become cynical of people. You'll accuse people. You'll be traitors and heady and high-minded. It's worse and worse and worse. And you know what the tragic thing is? These people still go to church. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. I'm not just talking about people in the world, but there are people in churches that have a form of godliness, but they deny its reality, its power. They confess it with their lips, but they don't want it in their heart. They say, you know what, that's right, I need to be holy, but don't tell me to burn that magazine. Don't tell me to never go on that website again. These things will prevent things. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I tell you, you have a blamed testimony, a stigma in the world. Avoid all appearance, not just, well, I can do this, but is it the best decision in life? Is this association going to cause others to question your Christianity? Is this friendship going to cause others to think, you know, that person isn't so much of a Christian in this life anyway, is he? He associates with that person or that trend, wears that kind of garment. Avoid all appearance of evil. The preservatives of thanks. The Lord sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. But as we looked at the negatives to prevent thanks, think about the positives. Quench not the spirit. If you obey God, if you serve the Lord will give you a grateful heart. Obedience is a sure path of finding a grateful heart. Be filled with the Spirit versus quenching the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace unto God. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness toward your fellow man. Faithfulness, meekness, and temperance toward your own soul. Oh, what a grateful person you will be if you're filled with the Spirit. If you are not despising preaching, but you're satisfied with the Word, if you're being saturated in the Word, if you're grateful for sermons because it's God's message to you this morning, whatever it may be, if you're saturating yourself with the Word of God, no matter if it comes from the radio or from a sermon in church or from some reading material, I just want to saturate myself with the Word of God to attend towards your feeling and giving thanks. I want to surround myself with godly friends. I want to marry a godly spouse. I want to prove all things. You better prove that person that wants your finger in marriage. You better prove that person that you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. Beauty is only skin deep. Money has wings that will fly away. Health of that person that you think you love could be gone. And you're going to love them? You get sick? Surround yourself with godly friends. Be saturated with wholesome music and wholesome speech and wholesome activities. Set your standard high and choose things that are excellent, not just acceptable. And you'll see that your heart, God's grace, full of thanksgiving for His grace in your life. What a difference. One letter is all the difference between Eucharist thanksgiving and acharist, ungrateful. Unthankful is the spirit of this age, but thankful is the spirit of the believer. You know, even God is good to the unthankful. That's what we're told in Luke chapter 5, or chapter 6 and verse 35. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Maybe this morning you're feeling in your heart that you've been ungrateful. God is kind, isn't He? And which one of us can say, I'm as thankful as I need to be? God is kind to us this morning to give us His Word. What a cardinal sin unthankfulness is. Of the 19 descriptions of the world in the latter days, the perilous, ferocious times, unthankfulness is number 7. I think it's near the top of the list because the Lord is showing what a wicked sin this is. And God has been so good to us, so gracious to us. May the Lord help us to be grateful people. The Lord Jesus set the example of being grateful. Gratitude is in heaven, brother and sister. Thanksgiving is forever rising in the atmosphere of heaven, forever in the hearts of God's people and angels for the Lord's goodness to them and His grace to them. Thanksgiving is the spirit of the Christian. Thanksgiving is not just the name of a holiday. It's not just the robotic practice of people. Thanksgiving is in the heart. Thanksgiving is an attitude. Thanksgiving is a spirit. Thanksgiving is in the depths of the soul of the believer for what the Lord has done for him, who the Lord is, and for the Lord's goodness and His grace to all of us. I hope that this challenge to be consistently grateful will be more than an hour challenge this morning. I hope that the Lord will let the truth of this important grace in the Christian's life sink down into our hearts. In everything, give thanks. In everything, feel thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, me, all of us. Priority, got the perspective, whole panorama if you're in Christ. Keep the partners of joy and prayer in your life. They'll all work together to keep that murmuring and complaining spirit out. Beware of the preventatives, unwholesome people and unwholesome music, unwholesome things. Beware of the wrong friends. Beware of anything that prevents you from being grateful. And the Lord gives us many supports. His Word, His Spirit, people who are grateful. The Lord gives us many supports. And I trust that the Lord will, though the message changes from week to week, that the Lord will continue to work in our hearts to feel and give thanks unto Him. For He is good, for His mercy endures forever.